Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are back this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We are having such a good time as the college football conversation is continuing. We do want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. We also want to recognize we have a brand new affiliate up in Emporium, Pennsylvania, WLEM, 1250 AM. We're so glad they are now carrying our program. And here we are in week 9 of college football. The good news for the Texas Longhorns, they are back to their winning ways. They did pick up a win against Baylor last week. I know that the folks weren't perhaps happy that the Baylor Bears were able to put up so many points on the board, but up next is Kansas, an opportunity to try to get 2 wins in a row, and it looks like that should happen. We are welcoming back to our program Steve Habel. He is the associate editor for Horns Illustrated and always does a great job. Steve, welcome back to the show.
Thanks for having me again, Alyssa.
We've got a lot of ground to cover, much to talk about. Tell us, give us the pulse down there in Austin with Texas. I know there was a lot of dissatisfaction after the blowout loss against Oklahoma, but you guys have recovered. You're moving forward. And Coach Brown, he's just pointed out to all of the players, the team, stay off the computer. Don't go to Twitter. Don't go to Facebook. You guys need to zero in and dial in on what is important and don't listen to those outside sources, correct?
Well, yeah, he said that, but I think that he knows the kids are still going to look into that. You know, the feeling around Austin after Texas got beat by a pretty good West Virginia team that came up here at that time, they were really on their high, was that the Longhorns and coaches and the players, we were upset by the loss, but they weren't really devastated because I know they played West Virginia pretty well. That really set the mood for Oklahoma, at least that's what we thought. And when Texas got up there, they were flat. They were outplayed in just about every part of the game. It was really probably one of the worst losses that I've ever seen in a Texas team, and I've been covering them since 1994. It was just very hard to watch, especially since Texas was supposed to be on this upward trend of where they were a couple of years ago, back to where they could play with teams like Oklahoma and be physical with them and compete with them. So it was a bitter pill for the Longhorns to swallow. It was a bitter pill for their fans to swallow. And us that are covering the team were just left wondering, back to square one, basically. We had no idea that they could play that poorly again, and the fact that their defense would be so dominated by Oklahoma.
You know, Brian Jones was on our program a couple weeks ago after that loss, and he was pretty chapped, to say the least, and he provided some very strong commentary and felt like that there needed to be some changes taking place, and that defensively, they just, you know, this is a team that just looks soft. How can that be at Texas? I mean, this is a program that has always prided itself defensively and what they're capable of doing.
Well, I think that Brian had a good point. I think that Texas did look soft, especially in Oklahoma. And, you know, they haven't looked good defensively all year, Elissa. So they stopped some teams early in the year that they should have stopped. But, I mean, Baylor was really a couple of plays away from beating them last week, and Texas was able to squeak out a win at 56-50. And, you know, what really bothers me about the Texas defense is I don't see the guys gang tackling. I see guys trying to go one-on-one, make big hits, and when they miss them, then that leaves Texas open to big plays, and that's happened over and over. I've sat and talked with Coach McWilliams, who was my coach when I was at Texas, David McWilliams, and he and I just kind of look at each other and roll our eyes when we talk about the gang tackling or the lack of it on this team.
Steve Habel is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. He is the associate editor with Horns Illustrated, and he's got some great articles for all you Longhorn fans out there that you will definitely want to check out. Tell us about that, Steve.
Well, the magazine has really been a great magazine for years, but we've really taken off in the past this past year. An example of that is that we had about 90 Facebook likes coming into this year, and now we have over 17,000 Facebook likes. It's amazing what
wow.
It's taking off. Our new owners that have bought the magazine about this time last year have really put some money into it, put some emphasis in the better articles, the way we're writing things, and the way we're putting things electronically out on the web. Good stories this month, when the issue should have come out today or tomorrow, will be about an overview of the Big 12 at the halfway point. We also talked about the success of the pending they're actually now signed Big 12 television contracts and how the Longhorn Network influenced that. And also we talked about some of the games that Texas has played.
And also, you're doing a feature on Alex Okafor, is that right?
That's coming up in the next issue. Alyssa, look forward to talking to Alex. I mean, he's a pretty quiet guy. He doesn't really go after the publicity. You would think, you know, he's going to be a first-round draft pick next year. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, he's not one to talk a lot about himself. So it would be an interesting little introspective about Alex.
Steve Habel with us this weekend on the Big East Sports Show. And, Steve, you broke it down. You scouted the defense for Texas, kind of talked about some of the things that need to take place. Let's scout the offense because the Longhorns offense has really carried the team through the seasons, through these first couple of months. Quarterback David Ash, he really is, you know, he can make dynamic plays. He's coming into his own as a sophomore. But what about their wide receiver in Mike Davis? Because he's had a nice performance at time of two.
Davis has had a pretty good year for Texas. He's been the go-to receiver for Ash this year, surprisingly, because Jackson Shipley has not been the go-to receiver for Ash after he had been last year. Davis has made some long catches and made some short catches. He's dropped a few passes, and he'll tell you himself that he's pretty angry and upset about that. But he's back to where we thought he would be at this time last year. He did not have a good year last year, but he's turned himself around. He made himself into a great player and a great go-to target for Ash.
Tell us about, as far as Case McCoy, I know, you know, of course, he's playing behind David Ash, but what kind of reps is he getting?
Case is not getting much at all in the games. I mean, he got some in the fourth quarter against Oklahoma after Ash hurt his wrist. And he looked good against, you know, the fourth or fifth team from Oklahoma. So I think that Case, he's an insurance policy for Texas. He's really a good leader and a good team player, but I don't think that he'll ever start at Texas again unless there's some kind of problem with Ash.
Okay, let's quickly preview. Of course, as I had just talked about, you guys face Kansas. They got blasted by K-State and Oklahoma. And really defensively, I mean, they're a pretty decent team. That's kind of kept them in the Jayhawks in the game. But what can we look forward to in this particular matchup?
Well, Texas should go to Lawrence with a pretty good head of steam, even though they barely beat Baylor. I mean, Kansas is not a very good football team, Alyssa. I mean, they've had their times when they've played well on defense. Their offense, with Dane Chris coming in from Notre Dame as a transfer, has been disappointing. If there was one game on the schedule that Texas has to look forward to more than any others for a win, it pretty much has to be the Kansas game. They shut out Kansas last year when Turner Gill was the coach over there, and I think that Texas goes in there thinking that they're going to dominate the game pretty well.
Getting ready to wrap it up this weekend on the Big East Sports Show with Steve Habel, of course, the associate editor with Horns Illustrated. And one thing I did want to bring up, and this is what I've heard from some of my folks, is that Texas has really ramped up its practice intensity. So, you know, when they go to Lawrence, they're going to look to, you know, hit first kind of mentality and, you know, take care of business early out of the gates.
Yeah, after the Oklahoma game, the kids seem to have a renewed idea about practice. I think the coaches kind of threw everything out the window and said, we don't really care about how physical practices are anymore. We're no more saving anybody for anything in the games. Let's go and play football like football's supposed to be played in practice. Let's hit. Let's make a statement in practice and be physical all the way through. And it really showed, especially on the offensive side against Baylor. Baylor actually played perhaps their best defensive game of the year against Texas. It's hard to say when you give up 56 points to somebody. But Texas is a pretty good offensive team. And they Baylor actually tried on defense, we'll put it that way. Sometimes it didn't seem like they'd been trying. But the Texas physical nature that they went through in practice and showed in the Baylor game is a good harbinger for things to come, I think.
Well, Texas, of course, on the road at Kansas. Then they will go to Lubbock at Texas Tech. They will host at home Iowa State. And the 24th, boy, this will be a good Thanksgiving game. TCU comes to town. And then they wrap it up with at Kansas State. So, Steve, we look forward to talking to you here in the next 4 weeks. And we'll just catch up real soon, okay?
Thanks, Alyssa.
We're going to step aside much more straight ahead here in just a moment with Jason Peter and our weekly Under the Helmet segment. Stay close. Hi, folks. Elissa Walker-Campbell here to tell you about our good friends at Mercer Well Service, who pride themselves on integrity, leadership, and complete customer satisfaction in the oil and gas industry. They truly understand what it takes to be successful. In fact, they've been providing outstanding completion and workover rig services for over 50 years. One of the key components and reasons that they have been able to have such longevity is their exceptional staff and experienced personnel to assist you 24 hours, 7 days a week. Mercer Well Service also provides a full line of completion and workover rig services that include 158 rigs and have 25 swab units. Did you know that Mercer Well Service yard locations include Cleburne, Jacksboro, Kilgore, Whitesboro, and Sweetwater, Texas, among many others? And they are equipped with mud pumps, mud tanks, hydraulic catwalks, pipe racks, and rig supervisors. Why not give them a call today at 940-668-5147. Mercer Well Service. Call them at 940-668-5147.
The Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell just got bigger. Featuring former defensive star and three-time national champion at Nebraska and NFL player Jason Peter. Jason Peter under the helmet. With Jason Peter on the Big E Sports Show with host Elissa Walker-Campbell.
Elissa Walker-Campbell, we're getting ready to wrap up the Big E Sports Show this weekend, and we always save the best for last. And unfortunately, we only have about 5 minutes this weekend with Jason Peter, and I've just got time for a couple of quick questions. The first thing on my discussion points that I want to hit on, Jason, is, my goodness, my hair was on fire last weekend when I turn on the TV and I see that Nebraska is losing to Northwestern. How are the folks handling that up there to only win by 1 point against Northwestern?
Well, I think the firebow.com website is up. Firebow Pelini website is up.
Oh, my.
People are fired up. They really are. I mean, they took that Northwestern game as a loss. They do not want to be in head-scratchers with Northwestern. I mean, the Nebraska fans feel like they are much, much more above Northwestern, and people, when you combine that with the loss they had to Ohio State with 60-some points, the 658 yards of total offense that UCLA put up on us, people are upset right now, and I think they have the right to feel that way.
You know, Jason, and we'll jump into this next week, but you just go, how can that be? How can Nebraska, they've always had such a high standard of excellence, how can this have happened to the program? And of course, you know, you guys faced Michigan this weekend. I mean, it's not going to get any easier.
No, and if there's another bad loss on primetime TV, and, you know, you look at the rest of the season, there's a few more games that they have the potential to lose. Who knows what could happen at the end of the year. I mean, Tom Osborne, I think, was the one thing that he really, Bo, had in his pocket is that he had a former coach as an athletic director, so he understands how long sometimes these things take, but it's not the day that we live in nowadays. You know, it's win now or you're gone.
Well, we certainly will have a lively conversation next weekend on the Big E Sports Show with Jason Peter with our weekly Under the Helmet segment. But the game we're all looking so forward to, I don't know what your thoughts are, but Oklahoma Notre Dame, Jason P., what do you think?
I'm not buying into Notre Dame. I think Oklahoma gets after them. I think they put a lot of points up on Notre Dame. Notre Dame's basically been playing in this horrible Big Ten conference for most of the year, and the one team that they've played, I think, that's decent is Stanford, and arguably, who knows if they really won that game. It seemed like there was a quick whistle there, but Notre Dame's got defense. They've got a few players on that defense, but they haven't seen anything like what Landry Jones and that offense is going to throw out there, and the Golson, the young quarterback, his one other real road test was Michigan State, and I got a feeling that the house is going to be rocking down in Norman, and they're not going to make it easy for that Notre Dame offense. And I just think that Oklahoma, when you look at the college football landscape these past few weeks, and I know it's been a trait that sometimes this happens with Oklahoma, is maybe they'll lose early, and then, you know, for the middle part of that season, they're as good as anybody in the country. But I think when you look at Oklahoma, they are. The past few weeks, they've been as good as anybody in the country. And if they're able to keep that balance on offense and take the pressure off of Landry Jones so that then he can really kind of just that's when most quarterbacks excel, is when you're multidimensional as an offense, and that's what Oklahoma's been. And the defense has been great, too. I mean, and that's just, I think, a matter of time when you bring kind of the new coordinator and is Bob's brother back. It's just going to take it will take some time until guys fully understand what he's asking of them.
And you nailed it, Jason, because defensively, they just got defensive tackle Stacy McKee. He has been reinstated. So, you know, they are steadily progressing week to week, getting better, building momentum, and that's what you want during this time of the year.
Yeah, and they missed the other D-tackle, Casey Walker,
the
couple games of the season.
Good
as
point.
Well. And, I mean, Nebraska fans know how difficult it is to find quality defensive tackles. I mean, we're horrible at that position. And even at Oklahoma, it's difficult to get those guys, those elite guys. And you have two with Walker and McGee, and now, you know, you get Walker back a few weeks ago in Oklahoma defense. The first team defense has been playing lights out. I think they've let up maybe one touchdown, and now you get the other guy back who's probably even better. So I think big things are happening for that Oklahoma defense.
Good stuff, Jason. Peter, we're so glad you were on for our abbreviated segment. We'll break it all down next week, and I promise it will go more in depth. Thanks, Jay.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead. Join us online at eradiosports.com.